Chapter 6. College, I used to work for a CPA in South Texas, and he was Catholic, and so he was not the most spiritual example I can think of. He had a saying that was definitely worldly, but it was interesting to think about. He said, "I'd rather be lucky than good." Well, I don't believe in luck. I believe in God. But I sure wouldn't want to be on the wrong side of God, because there's a fine line between being unlucky and being cursed. In fact, I think that's what it comes down to. And there are four characters in Esther chapter 6 that jump out at you. The first one is the king. And the second one is the enemy of the Jews, Haman. The third is Mordecai, Esther's uncle and Esther's sponsor, if you will, the man that raised her, and he is a godly man. And then the other one is not named, but you sure can see him. It's God himself. Amen? Just because you don't see God doesn't mean he's not at work. If you were Haman, or if you're to look at Haman from, stand back and look at what happens right here, from a worldly perspective, you'd say, this has got to be the unluckiest guy on the planet. But it's not a matter of luck. It's a matter of he has chosen which side to be on. Folks, we're all on a side. You're either gathering or you're scattering. Someone says, I'm going to be neutral. No, the Bible says either you're building or you're tearing down. And here's a story. Haman has chosen to be against God. And what a horrible decision. Let me read this to you, and please don't miss any of this. It's kind of interesting. We're going to go all the way through verse 14, and I'll let you remain seated. It's a little bit long here, but let's just begin reading in Esther chapter 6. And we're to remind you, as you finish up in chapter 5, that Haman has decided that he cannot be happy until Mordecai is killed. And so in chapter 5 and verse 14, Zeresh, his wife, and all of his friends said, let a gallows be made of 50 cubits high, and tomorrow speak unto the king that Mordecai may be hanged thereon. Then go thou merrily with the king unto the banquet that Esther has arranged, if you remember. And the thing pleased Haman, and he caused the gallows to be made. Now, that's his plan. What if you had a plan that's opposed to God? Well, let's see what happens. Here we go. Let the guys get back in here. Here they come. Esther chapter 6. On that night could not the king sleep. He commanded to bring the book of records of the Chronicles, and they were read before the king. And it was found written that Mordecai had told of Bigthana and Teresh, two of the king's chamberlains, the keepers of the door, who sought to lay hand on the king Ahasuerus. And the king said, what honor and dignity hath been done to Mordecai for this? Then said the king's servants that ministered unto him, there is nothing done for him. And the king said, who is in the court? Now Haman was come into the outward court of the king's house to speak unto the king to hang Mordecai on the gallows that he had prepared for him. And the king's servant said unto him, behold, Haman standeth in the court. And the king said, let him come in. So Haman came in, and the king said unto him, what shall be done unto the man whom the king delighteth to honor? Now Haman thought in his heart, to whom would the king delight to honor more than to myself? Haman answered the king, for the man whom the king delighteth to honor, let the royal apparel be brought, which the king useth to wear, and the horse that the king rideth upon, and the crown royal which is set upon his head, and let this apparel and horse be delivered to the hand of one of the king's most notable princes, that they may array the man withal whom the king delighteth to honor, and bring him on horseback through the street of the city, and proclaim before him, Thus shall it be done to the man whom the king delighteth to honor. Then the king said to Haman, make haste and take the apparel and the horse, as thou hast said, and do even so to Mordecai the Jew, that sitteth at the king's gate. Let nothing fail of all that thou hast spoken. Then took Haman the apparel and the horse, and arrayed Mordecai, and brought him on horseback through the street of the city, and proclaimed before him, thus shall it be done unto the man whom the king delighteth to honor. And Mordecai came again to the king's gate, but Haman hasted to his house, mourning and having his head covered. And Haman told Zeresh his wife and all his friends everything that had befallen him. Then said his wise men and Zeresh his wife unto him, if Mordecai be of the seed of the Jews, before whom thou hast begun to fall, thou shalt not prevail against him, but shalt surely fall before him. And while they were yet talking with him, came the king's chamberlains and hasted to bring Haman unto the banquet that Esther had prepared. Let's have a word of prayer. Father, I think we understand this story already, and we see some amazing things. And each one of them, the timing and the decisions, are perfectly controlled by you. And we thank you for that. The little tiny things, like this king not being able to sleep, or like Haman thinking that he's the one that would be honored. Little things like that, we can see your hand at work. God, pray in our life we'd see little things that you do for us and to care for us and to guide us and protect us. And Lord, help us not to assume that anything happens by accident, but help us to realize that you're in control. Help us also to realize that even when things look very, very bad, you can turn them around, sometimes very quickly. We're about to see that happen in the book of Esther, I know. God, I pray tonight for each one here. Please give us ears to hear and help us to understand what the Word of God has to say to us. And we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. If I didn't have anything else to say to you tonight from this passage, I think you can see it already. Sure is good to be on God's side. It doesn't matter how powerful the enemy is. Haman, the enemy, he's very powerful. It doesn't matter what plans the enemy has, how he wants to destroy you. It doesn't matter how things look. They've already made it picked a day and arranged the funds to destroy all the Jews. All of this has already been done. It doesn't matter how things look. What matters is what God's about to do. What's God about to do in your situation? You ever think about that? Talked about this last week a little bit. God loves you. He shows favor towards us. Amen? You think, well, what if God's not on my side? Look, folks, the Bible says, while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. When you were lost, Jesus died for your sins because he loved you then. And then it says in Romans, how much more does he love you now? Sure wouldn't want to be against God. I wouldn't want to be on the wrong side. And if you remember, the book of Esther is all about that unseen, detailed control that God exhibits in our situation. Now, there's some symbolism here, and I did not take time to really document it in detail, but you can clearly see there is a picture of God honoring the Lord Jesus Christ, and we know he's our king, but the king here, won't worry about who he represents so much. He's just authority. He's power. He does in places in this book represent God himself. But the point here is this king, he has the right to life and death. He has the right to choose who to honor. And so there's this question. Why would God see fit to honor Mordecai? Why would God see fit to honor you and I? Now, before we go anywhere else, understand this. The Lord Jesus Christ is the one that deserves to be honored. Because if it wasn't for him, we wouldn't be saved. And you may not live a rich life. You may not live an elaborate life. You may not live a huge, a life where many, many great things happen. You may live a quiet life where you just walk with God. But praise God, you have an eternal life. And it's going to be huge. It's going to be great. Jokingly, everyone come to my house 1,000 years from now. Amen? We have eternal life. There's no limit. There's no sickness or sadness or suffering. And we look forward to that. Why would God honor Mordecai? And I just remind you, first of all, it's not because he has to. Now, the Bible does say to give honor to whom honor is due. And when Mordecai is honored here, the king's doing what's right. And I'll remind you, God does what's right, doesn't he? Be careful. You and I don't deserve an awful lot. We deserved hell, and God saved us from that. But even now that you're saved, the things that you accomplish, God gets the glory for those, not us. So we don't deserve an awful lot. But you know good and well that when you step into eternity, that folks that have served God with their life and have been faithful to him are going to receive crowns. And those crowns are rewards. Those are signs of approval by God. And then we have often been told, and we see it in the Revelation, that we're going to cast the crowns at his feet. And won't that be great to have something to give back to your Savior for all he's given you? We talked in Bible class today. We were in Genesis chapter 14, I believe it was, and talking about when Abram got back from Egypt and how he had been in Egypt. He wasn't where God wanted him to be, and he had lied about Sarah being his sister, and Pharaoh's house was plagued, and they kicked him out. He said, "Get out. We don't want you here." He ruined his testimony with Pharaoh. And now he's coming back to where God wants him. And we were looking at this in Genesis chapter 14. And he comes back to Bethel, which is the house of God. And folks, when you get right with God, you ought to be in church. And then he starts to call upon the name of the Lord. When you're right with God, you ought to pray. And then he also goes to the altar. When you're right with God, there is sacrifice. And I asked the class, what is it that you and I could sacrifice for God? We don't offer animals anymore. And one of them, I think that one of the first answers was a good answer, and they said time. But then I reminded them of something. Aren't we bought with a price? Our time belongs to God. Wouldn't it be sad? The Bible says if you don't tithe, you're stealing from God. If you don't serve God, you're stealing time from God, aren't you? But God is so merciful and so gracious that if we will simply be faithful to do what he asks us to do, there will be rewards, there will be crowns, there will be honor. And if you think about it, by taking those crowns and laying them at Jesus' feet, what you're saying is, the life I lived for you. Amen? And I know there's some people that are going to have tremendous numbers of crowns, and you're going to see them and you're going to wish you'd have done more for the Lord Jesus Christ. He didn't have to honor Haman or Mordecai. He didn't have to honor Mordecai. But Mordecai had done something for the king. In fact, he had protected the king. And when the king found out nothing was done, he set about to make that right. There's four things I'll show you really quick here. I'm going to read you some verses. We don't need to turn there. But why honor Mordecai? Why honor anybody? Why would God do this? What's happening here? First of all, folks, God promised that the wicked would fall. God promised that the wicked would fall. Let me read you a proverb here. The Bible says in Proverbs 11:5, the righteousness of the perfect shall direct his way, but the wicked shall fall by his own wickedness. Why does it make us sad in school, when we see young people, when we see a young person wavering from their faithfulness with God? Because we know what kind of life that leads to, don't we? Why does it make you sad when you see somebody backslide or drop out of church or fall into sin? The first thing I think about is not, although maybe we should first think of how it hurts God, but they're hurting themselves. Folks, when you decide to live a wicked life, there's a consequence for it. And when Haman made his decision to be the enemy of the Jews, God promised he's going to fall. It's interesting, in our testimony time, this came along, that folks, we are on the winning side. And there are some times when it might not look that way, just like right here, right now. But watch what God does. Things will change. You decide to be wicked. You decide to take a side for ungodliness. It's not going to go well for you. The Bible says the way of transgressors is hard. And that, by the way, that's true for saved people as well, isn't it? No, the wicked, God promised that the wicked would fall. And that's that concept or that principle is behind everything you see happening pretty much the rest of the way through the book of Esther. There's a second thing that God promised. I'll read you from Luke 18, chapter 18 and verse 7, that God promised to avenge his people. The Bible says, "Shall not God avenge his own elect, which cried day and night unto him, though he bear long with them? Vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord." Why is it wrong to fight? I'm talking about, for example, we have some young people and maybe somebody's obnoxious and they decide they're going to fight. Wouldn't it be right to let God take care of things? Amen? What does the Bible say? Jesus said, turn the other cheek. You say, well, what if they hurt me? They won't unless God lets them. Amen? But God will avenge his people. And there again, those that go against God's people are setting themselves up for the vengeance of God. And what does the verse say? He says, I will repay. There's not a question about that. So we could see this coming if you just read a little bit of the Bible. God promised that the wicked would fall. He promised to avenge his people. Psalm 37:34 says this, wait on the Lord and keep his way, and he shall exalt thee to inherit the land. When the wicked are cut off, thou shalt see it. God promised that the righteous would see the wicked cut off. It's not going to be a happy day. I remember, I think it was an evangelist, but I remember that somebody explained to me one time, the Bible says that we will be caught up together to meet the Lord in the air. The dead in Christ will rise, and we will rise, and we'll meet the Lord in the air. And then it says, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Just think about that. That's kind of exciting. From the moment that we are taken to be with him, for as many millennia, eons, eternities as you can comprehend, we'll be with him forever and ever. But we're going to see some things. For example, when he comes back to rule in Jerusalem, we're going to be with him. And in the end, when there's a new heaven and a new earth, we're going to be with him. But between those two events, there's a judgment. And we're going to see that. And right then and there, there's going to be a time when the wicked are judged and cast into hell. And the evangelist that told the story reminded me, and you perhaps, that the important thing there is you're going to see some people that you could have witnessed to. It's going to be a sad day. You're going to see some people perhaps that were not led to Christ because we didn't do what we should have. And we're going to see that happen that day when they're cast into hell. But we know Haman's time is coming. Bible prophesied it already. He's going to be cut off. And then, finally, God will not leave our labor unrewarded. And that really goes right back to what happened in those first couple of verses where Mordecai is, he's found out the records of the Chronicles. There's a book, and the Bible says there's a record of what we have done. And in Matthew 10:42, it says, whosoever shall give to drink unto one of these little ones a cup of cold water only in the name of a disciple, verily I say, he shall in no wise lose his reward. Folks, God will not leave you unrewarded. Amen? We miss a lot of opportunities, I think, to be a blessing to people. What if you just decided, this week I'm going to be a blessing to somebody? It might cost you some of your time. It might cost you some of your money. It might cost you other things. But you said, this week, my purpose is to be a blessing to somebody. A big blessing. Amen? I know some things happening this week, and I've already seen the opportunity. One of them is on Saturday, and it's just between me and the Lord, and my wife knows about it, but there's going to be an event, and I'm going to try to be a blessing to somebody. I want to be a blessing to Brenda and get her some lights. Amen? I see some children that I'd like to be a blessing to, that their life is difficult, and I think we can be a blessing and make it better. You know, just here's a thought. If I could get five little children to come here on Wednesday nights, every Wednesday night, if I could get five little children to come here, would you be willing to help them? Amen? I think I can. I think God would bless that. I think. You say, well, Pastor, that'd be a lot of work. We'd need to do some preparation, and we'd have to have a room ready, and we'd have to clean up afterwards, and little children are hard to work with sometimes. You're missing the point. Let's be a blessing, amen? God's not going to leave you unrewarded. You know, the best way to lose a reward is not to earn one. You know? Because in God's eyes, He's faithful. He's going to do what He said He would do. The devil's going to try and keep you from earning those rewards, but God's going to reward you for the things you've done for Him. Now, you don't have to see God. You can't help but see God's a better way to say it. You haven't got to see His name in this passage, but you sure can see Him at work. And what's better, you know what's coming. You know God's going to deliver the Jews, don't you? You know God's going to deliver Mordecai. You know He's not going to hang Mordecai. No, Mordecai is perfectly safe. In fact, Mordecai is going to be promoted at the end of the book. Esther is going to do just fine. The Jews are going to do just fine. Haman's not going to do so well because he chose the wrong side. Be very careful what side you choose. Amen? I'm probably preaching to the choir on that one, but anyway. I hope you can see God in your situation. By the way, just a thought. Why couldn't Mordecai... No, let me say that differently. Why couldn't Haman see how bad things were getting and how things seemed to go against him all the time? And the answer to that is because of his pride. Pride blinds people. We see it in students especially. A student gets proud and they're convinced they're right. And so they won't listen to the teacher, they won't listen to the pastor. Nope, they got it figured out. The Bible says pride goeth before a fall. Haman couldn't see what was coming because of pride. Mordecai was about to see triumph. You can see God in your situation. Stay faithful. God will deliver you. Jeremiah 20 and verse 11. Here's what Jeremiah said. He said, "The Lord is with me as a mighty, terrible one." I like that phrase. "Therefore my persecutors shall stumble, and they shall not prevail. They shall be greatly ashamed, for they shall not prosper. Their everlasting confusion shall never be forgotten." Sure nice to be on a winning side, isn't it? Are you on that side? It's not just a matter of saying it. It's a matter of living it. Amen? Now you can see God working throughout the passage. You don't see His name in there anywhere. The Bible never says God did this. But who heard of such a thing? The king just happened to not be able to sleep. He just happened to read. And who knows how big these books were about Mordecai. He just happened to want to honor Mordecai when Haman is standing in the court. Haman just happened to be proud enough to think the king must want to honor me. No, God did all that, didn't He? Don't miss it. Don't fail to see God in your situation. He's there in a bigger way than you think He is. And if you're on His side, I want you to know He's going to take good care of you. Let's all stand and pray.